It is delightful to be back with the saints of God here. I was very encouraged to see Todd and Lynn today myself. Like Paul when he was on the Appian Way and some of the men came out to see him when he was on his way to Rome. They walked out of town to meet him and they saw the brethren. They took courage. When he saw the brethren, he took courage. That's the way I was today. And I saw him, and he was laying in bed when I first saw him, and hadn't shaved, and just didn't look the best you ever saw. But it's still, oh my, it's so good to see him. Oh, it's so good to see him. And to see Lynn. So thankful for him. God's people are the best people on the face of the earth, and I've got, he's got people that love him, pray for him. And we all do. And we pray for one another and love one another. That's how we know we've passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. We even pray for people we haven't met when we heard about them in their situations, because we love the Lord's people and we know what they go through. But I'm going to try by God's grace to bring a message this evening on the sacrifice of Abraham. And for us to understand the message, I need to read the first 14 verses, so we'll be able to follow along. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, clave the wood for a burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father? And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mouth of the Lord it shall be seen. Now Abraham, as I've read this, we know from the New Testament that Abraham's called the father of the faithful. He's called the father of the faithful. They that are of faith are the children of Abraham, Galatians says. And as the father of the faithful, he had to face the most severe trials, many trials in his life. And this one here in Genesis 22 is his most severe. You see, his spiritual history was marked by four great crises. And every one of them involved the surrender of something naturally dear to himself. And that's something God has to do to all of us. He has to bring us to a crisis in our life. He's got to absolutely bring us to a place where we got nowhere to turn but to Him. No one to trust but Him. No one to look to but Him, because if He gives us any other alternative, we'll take it. Now, is that not right? If He does not bring us to a place in such a crisis, in such an awful place, to where we got nowhere else to go but Him, we'll take our way out. So God brought Abraham to four great crises in his life. The first one was this. His whole history, his spiritual history, is made up of these. He is called to separate himself from his country and his kindred. Now that's a pretty good task. That's a pretty good call. God said, get up, leave your country, leave your family, leave your idols, and you go unto a land that I'll show you. And Abraham got up and he went out not knowing where he was going. And he went. Secondly, he was called upon to give up his nephew Lot. He had raised Lot. Raised him all of his life. He'd been with him. Cared for him, loved him, protected him. Even one time took 300 men and rescued him from 5 kings. And yet he had to separate himself from Lot. That was a great crisis. And then he had a boy by a bondmaid, Hagar, Ishmael. And God said, Ishmael cannot dwell in the house. Flesh and spirit can't dwell. The flesh and the promised seed can't dwell together. He said, Abraham, Ishmael's got to go. He cannot dwell with you. He's not your heir. He's got to go. And Abraham lifted up his voice and cried, Oh God, that Ishmael might live before thee. And he sent Ishmael and his mother out with a loaf of bread and a bottle of water. And then here is the greatest trial of all, the greatest crisis of all. And it said in verse 1, God did tempt Abraham. And over in Hebrews it said God tried Abraham. And God told him to take his son. He wasn't told to take his son to someone else and let him offer him as a sacrifice. He said, but no, you be the priest. You be the high priest. You be the one to yield the knife. You be the one to shed the blood. You be the one to kindle the fire. You be the one to make him an offering. And oh, and this is the first mention of human sacrifice in the Scriptures. And this tells us this, that by man came sin, and by man sin must be put away. And this is a father and a son endeavoring to do this. Well, how did Abraham react to this? How would you and I react to this? Well, I'll tell you how he reacted. He didn't reason about it. He didn't reason about it. He didn't sit down, scratch his head, and wonder, what am I going to do? How am I going to get out of this? Why would God call me on to do something like this? He didn't consult with anyone. He never called Sarah in. Never called his servants in. Never called the wise men in. God told him he didn't reason with himself or consult with anyone else. And he knew that this was the promised seed. And this told to slay the one that all the promises of God dwelt in. And all the promises of God dwelt in the blessed Son of God. And this was all the promises, as far as Abraham was concerned, dwelt in this boy. And then secondly, how he reacted, he staggered not. He staggered not. Occasionally I get staggered. Occasionally I get flabbergasted. Just stand. How could that happen? I don't understand that. I don't know how that could be. He staggered not. Though it was a staggering command, but he was strong in faith, staggered not, but given glory to God. And then thirdly, he was prompt. Look what it says in verse 3. Abraham rose up early in the morning. He was prompt. He didn't put it off. He didn't say, let's wait. Maybe God will change his mind. Maybe God will decide that he don't want this done. He got up the next morning, rose up real early. Got up early. So he was prompt about what God told him to do. And fourthly, he was deliberate. Look what it says. And he saddled his ass and took 2 of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And look here. And he clave the wood for the burnt offering. He prepared the wood before he ever left for the burnt offering. He wouldn't wait till he was going to get on the mountain and start gathering up the wood. He clave the wood to take it with him for the burnt offering. So he was prepared beforehand. Now here was a man. A man like you and me, flesh and blood. He didn't oppose God, didn't argue with God, didn't reason with God, didn't question God, but bowed in absolute submission to the will of God. Beloved, faith here triumphed over natural affection. Faith triumphed over reason. Faith triumphed over self-will. And beloved, this thing that he didn't do it naturally. He didn't have this ability in him. He was just like you and me. The only reason that faith triumphed is because God gave him faith. And oh, the power of grace when God, you know, whenever God calls you to go through something, there's going to be grace to go through it when you're called on to go through it. Don't worry about how you're going to handle something. Wait till you're called on to handle it. That's what we do. Women's the word. Yeah, well, I'm going to say women. But I'm talking from my own experience and my family. They're always saying, what if, what if, what if, what if? What if this happened? What if that happened? This might happen. That might, other thing might happen. They're always crossing bridges before they get there. Always make up these scenarios of all the things could happen. Well, let's wait till they happen. Then let's deal with them. And that's what Abraham did. He never thought about offering his son. It never entered his mind. Until God said, now take your son and go offer him. That's when he responded. That's when the grace was given. That's when the faith was given. That's when the ability was given. That's when the strength was given. Not until he's called on to do it. He didn't sit down and say, what if God's going to call on me to offer my son? He never thought about it. So we don't know what, but I do know this, that whatever God calls us to go through, He will give us the grace. I've seen it happen. Not myself, because I've never went through it, but I've seen other people go through things, and bless God, He's always, always sustained them. Well, let's look here quickly. Let's look at the father's sacrifice. In verse 2, the father's sacrifice, and God said to Abraham, He said, Abraham, take now thy son. Now watch how He deals this. Take now thy son. And then watch what else He says. Thine only son. And then He calls him by name. Thy only son, Isaac. And then He goes another step. Whom thou lovest. He just kept piling it on. Take your son. Your only son. His name's Isaac. The son that you love. And oh, beloved, here's our God. Here's the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's God in His wondrous mercy letting us know beforehand in the gospel here, God revealing His heart to us. He called on Abraham to give His son, so what God would call on a man to do, God Himself would do. And God reveals His heart to, He took His son, His only son, His only begotten son, the son of His love, the son of His eternality, the son who was daily His delight, the son who dwelt in His bosom. And beloved, He delivered Him up for us all. Spared Him not, but delivered us up. So here's the Father revealing His heart to us. And the Father here, He says, you give up your son. God spared not His own son, but gave Him up for us. And oh, bless His holy name. And here's the Father setting apart the son for sacrifice. So this is the gospel. This is much more than just a historical story. You take Christ out of this. You take the relationship of the Father and the Son out of this. And you just got an Old Testament story. But you see the Father, God the Father. You see God the Son. And in this, you'll have the gospel of the grace of God, the gospel of redemption. And oh, here He says, here's the Father setting apart the Son for sacrifice. It says in verse 3, and He took His young men with Him, and Isaac and his son, and the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place God had told him. And he before this ever took place, in his mind, in his heart, before he ever got the wood, before he ever got the fire, before he ever got the knife, he had already, in his mind, set apart his son for this sacrifice. And as the Passover lamb was set apart to make sure that it had no spots or no blemishes in it, Abraham set this son apart. It was 3 days' journey for them to go up that mountainside. And just as that lamb was set apart, Isaac was set apart for 3 days before he was supposed to be offered on that altar. And did I not? And here's, you know, when our God set His blessed son apart? He set him apart before the foundation of the world. He set him apart before there was ever a human being on the face of this earth. He was delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God. He said that they took His son and done him what He before times and His counsel had determined before to be done. And our Lord Jesus Christ was marked out, set apart, just like a Passover lamb, set apart, and there's no spot or no blemishes in Him. And God the Father Himself, just as Abraham set His son apart and took 3 days to take Him to that altar, God set apart His son before the world ever began. He stood as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He was a lamb without spot and blemish who was foreordained before the foundation of the world and was manifest in these last times for you and me. And oh, my soul, let's just imagine Abraham, what's going through his mind for the love that he had for his son. And you imagine God, before anybody was ever born, knowing all that we would be, and all that we would think, and all the acts we would commit, and yet He set apart His Son. Set apart His Son. And when you consider who He set Him apart for, it just fills my heart with such joy and such humility at the same time. And here's Abraham's hopes, Abraham's desires, Abraham's affection, Abraham's purposes centered in Isaac. His whole life was in this Isaac. This is my heir. This is the son of my love. This is the son of promise. This is the son that I delight in. And oh, beloved. And so that's the way it was with God the Father. He loved His Son. As the son of His, called in Colossians 1, called Him the son of His love. And He said He was daily the delight of His Father. And He, the purposes and will and affections and all that God had was in His Son. And when we understand to some degree the greatness of the love of the Father that He had for His own Son, and that He gave Him and offered Him up in our stead, then we'll begin to understand to some degree the greatness of the sacrifice that was made on our behalf. And let me tell you this. What took place on that Mount of Sacrifices, Abraham and Isaac went up there, was a transaction that was only between the Father and the Son only. Only between the Father and the Son. Look in verse 5. Abraham said unto his young men, "Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder." I love this. "And worship, and come again to you." Oh my. And Abraham took the wood and the burning offering, and up that mountainside he went. Now here they are. They've gone up this mountain alone. They went up this mountain, just the two of them. And when they get to that altar of sacrifice, there's just going to be two people there. Just the Father and the Son. There's going to be something done only between them two. Sarah's not mentioned. Those young men aren't mentioned. No witnesses are mentioned. Nobody's mentioned. They're left behind. And they saw the place. And they didn't allow to see that place of sacrifice. They seen Isaac head off up that mountain with that wood on his back. And oh my, what took place between the Father and Son at that altar, they weren't allowed to see, and nobody else was. And it was like when our Lord Jesus Christ was on the cross, God Himself pulled down the curtains of heaven, turned out the lights. And that's what it means to be forsaken of God. That's what it means to be in outer darkness. That's why the Son of God cried, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me?" There's going to be a transaction between the Father and the Son that no human eye is going to see. They're not going to see the agony of the soul of the Son of God and the sufferings of His soul. They're not going to see when God pulls out that sword of justice and plunges in His heart and hear the heart cries of the Son of God as He groans on that tree, as He groans for mercy and no mercy is extended, as He groans for strength and no strength is given, as He groans for help and no help is given. It's a transaction only between the Father and the Son. Nobody else gets to see it. But oh, bless His holy name, we get to enjoy the benefits of it. I didn't have to see what took place. God told me what took place. And I believe what God said, don't you? Oh, there's the Father and the Son. What's in that Father's heart as He draws back the knife? Only the Father knew. And what was in that Son's heart as the Father was fixing to plunge the knife? And He didn't resist. Only the Son knew. And only the Father and the Son knew what transpired between their hearts that day. And only God the Father and God the Son understood what transpired between, and if I can say it this way, between the heart of the Father and the Son that day on Calvary. And look at the Son's submission in verse 6. "And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering," watch this, "and laid it upon Isaac his son." Oh my. He took that, I don't know how much wood he took. Here's enough to start a good fire with. Put it on his shoulder. Said, son, here, carry this. Isaac was a full-grown man. He was probably 23, 24, 25 years old. He could have said, I'm not going to carry that. I'm not going to do that. But instead, he quietly, as the father lays that wood on his shoulder, he just quietly follows along with his father. And he carried that wood on his shoulder. Now you keep Genesis 22 and look with me in John chapter 19. John chapter 19. And you notice he laid it on him. The father laid it on him. The son didn't say, here, give it to me and let me carry it, Father. And ain't that the way it was with the Son of God? I come, O Father, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not. But it's written of me, lo, I come. Lo, I delight to do thy will. It's written of me in the volume of the book. I delight to do your will. And if it's your will for me to carry the wood of my own death, if it's your will for me to carry the wood that's going to burn me on the altar and make me a burnt offering, I'll carry that wood. If that's your will, Father, if that's your purpose, Father, if that's what you intend for it to be, lay the wood on here. And look in John 19 and verse 17. And he, bearing his cross, went forth unto a place, the place of a skull, which is in the Hebrew, Golgotha. And so, oh my, just as Isaac carried that wood, the Father gave him a cross to bear. The Father laid the wood on him. Our Lord Jesus Christ, they kept talking about they're going to destroy him. And he kept saying, my hour's not come, my hour's not come. And then one day he says, the hour has come. Now the hour has come that the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be, what? Crucified. Crucified. And I'll tell you something about crucifixion. In my opinion, this is just my opinion, I don't think they had a wooden cross. I don't think it was like this with a cross like this. I think it's a tree. I think it was a tree they cut down. And I personally think that they put their hands over their head like that and their feet on top of one another. And I think that he probably wasn't a foot 18 inches off the ground. Because when you read about his mother and the three Marys standing there, other three Marys standing there, or Mary's sister and two other Marys and John standing there, it says they standing beside his cross. And they were almost looking him in the eye. And they were close enough to him that he could speak in a normal voice and speak to him. So here our Savior carried that cross, carried that tree, just as Isaac carried that wood. And he never resisted. He never said, I don't have the strength. He didn't say, you beat me to a bloody pulp and let somebody else carry it. They gave it to him and he put it on his back. And blood already pouring from his broken body. And away from there he went. Uh-huh. And on, look at here. Look in verse 6 again of Genesis 22. And it says there in the last part of the verse, the father and the son were in one accord. It says, and they went both of them together. And it says, it's again, last part of verse 8, so they went both of them together. Oh, the father and the son, they got the same will. They got the same purpose. They got the same heart. They got the same desire. They got the same end to be accomplished. The father and the son went together. Went together. And oh my, he submitted to be burdened with the cross, our Savior did. Isaac was burdened with wood. Our Lord was burdened with the cross of sacrifice. And the burden that he bore was more than just the piece of wood he carried. The burden that was upon the blessed Lord was the burden of sin laid upon him. Our sin, just as the Father laid that wood upon him, our Father, God the Father, Christ's Father, he laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. God the Father, God cannot make sin to be on a man. We can't make sin to be on a man. Only God can make sin to be on a man. I can't charge my sin or your sin or nobody else to anybody else. Only God can make a man to be sin. And God laid on him who knew no sin. God burdened him and laid on him. And guess what? The one who laid on him was a loving Father. A Father that loved Him more than you and I will ever know what love is like. Oh, my. And then to be bound to the altar. Look what it says down in verse 9. They got to the altar, the place of altar. And at verse 9 it says, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And now, the greatest thing that between both eternities, you knock out the end of both eternities, and the central point of history. Central point of history is not what empire went here and what empire went there. It was the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That place that God had fixed from eternity. Everybody till that time looked forward to it. And everybody since that time looks back to it, who's one of God's elect. This was the greatest event in all history. This is the greatest event that ever took place between the eternities. This is the event that God Himself ordained that was prepared. And when Abraham came to the place where God showed him up, and when Christ came to the place that God sent for him, they came there. And look what happened. And Abraham built an altar there. He began to build an altar. Isaac standing watching him. And he laid the wood in order. Everything had to be done. I mean, he just didn't throw it under like you and I'd throw a fire. It had to be in order. God's a God of order and decency. And everything had to be just right. And he built it and he laid the wood in order. And then watch this. And he bound Isaac, his son. You imagine this boy's got to lay down. Got to be willing to lay down. He willingly laid down on that altar with that wood. And then the father took some type of cord and bound him to that altar. And Isaac never said a word, never murmured, never questioned him, never said a thing. Just laid down. And our Lord Jesus Christ, He was a lamb led to the slaughter, and as a sheep before His shears, He's dumb and opened not His mouth. When they come to get Him, He said, if you want Me, let these go their way. There's only one you're going to take from this place. There's only one that's going to that cross. There's only one going to be bound by God. Only one's going to go. These got to go their way. And nobody gets to go to that mountain but the Father and the Son. And oh my, what happens now? And oh my, as He was bound to that altar, laid on that altar, I know that it was nails physically bound our Savior to the cross. But you know what really bound Him to that cross? Love. Mercy. The delight to fulfill the will of God. The love that He bore for poor sinners that were given to Him in a covenant of grace before the world ever began. It was the hearts and souls and the love and the men and women that He saw through all eternity and all of their iniquities and all of their sins and all of their rebellions and all their wickedness. He said, oh, Father, You gave them to Me. And oh, my soul, I'll redeem all of them. They're My sheep. You gave them to Me. And I'm going to go and I'm going to pay for all of them. And it'll be My love for them and My love for you that'll hold Me to this cross. Nails physically held Him there. But nails could have never kept an eternal God on a tree. There had to be something more than nails. Didn't they? Oh my, if you ever, I'll never forget it. I'll tell you this. Years and years ago, we first moved to Tennessee 30 years ago. And we lived in a little old trailer there we bought. And I was sitting up one morning. It was about the sun was coming up. And I was sitting at the kitchen table looking out. Sun coming up from the east. And our window faced out toward the east, and I sat at the table. And I began to read about the cross, and all I just saw the Lord Jesus. I saw the blessed Son of God as the Lamb of God, as an offering for me. I saw Him with my sin on Him. I saw Him suffering in my place. And I cannot tell you how it broke my heart and how thankful I was that the Lord Jesus Christ took my place, bore my sin. And I saw Him. I saw Him on a cross. And why are you doing that? I'm here for you. Nails physically held Him. But it was what He was doing for me to accomplish my salvation and my redemption and your salvation and your redemption is what held Him to that tree. That's the only thing that could hold him. If a grave can't hold him, you know nails ain't going to hold him. Is that not right? And oh my, well look what else happened. He submitted, the son submitted to be burdened with the cross. He did, submitted to be bound to the altar. And then he submitted to judgment and justice. And oh, there it says in verse 6 that Abraham took fire in his hand and a knife. And what is fire? Fire is emblematic of God's judgment. Always of God's judgment. The fiery wrath of God. Our God is a consuming fire. And when the fire would consume the sacrifice. But here's one time where the sacrifice consumed the fire instead of the other way around. And then he had that knife. And that knife was to slay him, to cut his throat and let the blood flow. And oh, he had that knife that was emblematic of the sword of God's justice, where the knife of God's justice would plunge into the heart and soul of the Son of God. Awake, O sword, against my fellow, against the shepherd. Smite the shepherd. And God put that in there, and when he draw it out, he wiped the blood of it off and then put it back in his sheath. And there's no more judgment and there's no more justice that's going to come after any for whom Christ died. Not nobody. Ain't that right? God's not mad at me. If He was ever mad at me, Christ bore that anger. And the justice that demanded my death, the Son of God went and said, plunge the knife into my heart and let Him go free. And oh my, that's what happened. But now look what happens in verse 7 and 8. Look what the son says. Isaac spake unto Abraham his father. And he said, my father. See how respectful. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, we got the wood. We got the fire. But watch this. Where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Where is the lamb? I heard old Scott Richardson say one time after a fellow got through preaching, everybody's going on and on about what a good message this was. And Scott said, where was the lamb? Where was the lamb? If there ain't no lamb, just keep it to yourself. Where is the lamb? That's what Isaac wanted to know. Where is the lamb? We're going up here to worship God. We're going up here to offer sacrifice. We got everything necessary for a sacrifice. But we got everything, but one thing we're missing. We're missing a lamb. Look what Abraham said. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul. And Abraham said, my son, God. Woo! God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Who will? God will. When we get where we're supposed to be, doing what God told us to do, there'll be a lamb there to be offered. God will provide Himself a lamb. And oh, yet not only would God provide a lamb, but He'd provide it for Himself. The first and foremost reason God, there's a lamb offered, God provides it for Himself. God must be satisfied. God must be glorified. Justice must be satisfied. Wrath must be expended. And he said, God Himself will provide Himself a lamb. And secondly, was that God would provide Himself as the lamb. How's He going to do that? In the person of His blessed Son. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Huh? And oh my. And that's why old John said, behold, the Lamb of God. What are you talking about? I see a man there. Behold the Lamb of God. Ain't that what He said? And He purchased the church of God with what? His own blood. Whose blood? The blood of God. How can God bleed? I don't know. How can God die? I don't know that either. But I know that's what took place because this tells me. And I know that my own conscience tells me that that's what it's going to take to save my sinful soul. God's the only one that can put away sin. God's the only one that can satisfy God. God's the only one who can suffer infinitely. And God's the only one that's got the merit to save a sinful soul like me. So God came down in the person of His blessed Son to save me and save you by His blessed grace. And then look at substitution. Look at this blessed substitution. And they came to the place in verse 9, which God had told him of. And we're all going to come to that place that God's told us about. And I told me where I'm going to go. I'm going to go be with the Lord Jesus one of these days. Enjoy Him forever. Oh, I can't hardly wait. And he built an altar and laid Isaac on him. And then when he stretched forth his hand, took the knife to slay his son, the angel of the Lord said, "Abraham, Abraham, stop, stop. Don't do it. Don't harm him. For I know you fearest God, seeing you've not withheld your only son." So Abraham was down here, had his son on this altar, had the wood under, had his knife drawn back. And that angel says, "Stop." He's positioned to do the slaying. He's positioned to do that slaying. And all of a sudden that angel said, "Stop." So Abraham looked up and he looked around for the voice. And when he looked around, you know what was behind him? He said, "Well, there's a ram, a male lamb." And you know it had to be without spot and blemish because God put it there. He said, "There's a lamb." And watch what happens. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, behind him, a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram, offering him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Can you imagine what Isaac felt like when that father took that knife and cut the cords and said, "Son, get up. Told you God had a lamb." Because he said, "I'm that lad going yonder to worship, and we're coming back down." Now, all you imagine the faith is in a man's heart to believe that he's going to go slay a man, his own son, and that God's going to let him and that son come back down off that mountain together. And that's exactly what happened on the cross. God slew his own son, and they went both of them together. And God said on the third morning, "I'm going to come get him up. This thing's going to be together." And beloved, we were as sinners in the place of Isaac, in the place of death. We were awaiting our execution. But just as Abraham the father saw the lamb, you and I, we were bound by sin, bound by the awful, awful thing called sin, unable to help ourselves. And as the ram was put in Isaac's stead, Christ was put in our stead. He Himself bare our sins in His own body on the tree. God made Him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the very righteousness of God. Christ, our Passover sacrifice for us. Oh. And here's where Abraham had the gospel preached to him. And he saw the day of the Lord Jesus Christ right here. Right here. And as Isaac was freed from that altar and his bonds were loosed, can you imagine the joy? Can you imagine the joy that was in Abraham's heart? The satisfaction that was in Abraham's heart? The glory that he gave to God in his heart? The honor and praise that was in his heart and the thankfulness that was in his heart? That here my son, as far as I was concerned, was dead. And now he lived. And he had something. He had just exactly what God provided him. And beloved, as Isaac was taken up off that altar, God set us free. The Scripture says this in John 8:32. He said, "Know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And the truth is the Lord Jesus Christ. The truth is we can't save ourselves. The truth is we have no ability. Truth is we're sinners. Truth is we have no strength. Truth is we don't know nothing. Truth is we can't do anything. Salvation's of the Lord. That's the truth from start to finish. We know that. We know that. We know that in our heart of hearts. And because Christ was put in our stead, and our Lord said, "The Son abideth in the house, who is he that serves sin is the servant of sin." And he said, "But the Son abideth in the house, and whom the Son sets free, he's free indeed." And Christ, through being offered in our room and place and in our stead, we were taken up and we're set free. Free from sin, free from the law, free from wrath, free from judgment, free now to worship God, free to call on God, free to give thanks to God, free to praise His holy name, free to bless the Son of God, free to worship God. We couldn't do that before, but we can do it now. Because we have been taken out of the place of execution. Christ was put in our place. And that's what it was. It's an execution. And look with me in Hebrews 11. And I'll be done in a minute. Hebrews 11. You know, I wished I could tell it as good as I felt it. And as good as I understood it in my own mind. I wished I could preach as good when I'm preaching as I do when I'm laying in bed at night. Or when I'm like kind of Martin Lloyd-Jones. He said, I preached one time in my life. He said, when was that? He said, I was dreaming. That's pretty much the way it is with me. But I'll tell you something. I do know this. That this is the only hope for a poor sinner. Is for Christ to be put in our stead. And this is something God done for us. We didn't do it. We had nothing to do with it. Before I was ever born, Christ was put in my place. Before I was thought of 2,000 years ago, everything for my redemption was accomplished. And the gospel came and told me not what I was to do, but what Christ had already done. And you see, that's what we're trying to tell sinners. Stop. Everything's been done that needs to be done. Now what you do is you believe God to what He did. Ain't that right? And if He ever gives you faith, you can't help yourself. You go believe. And ain't that right? You can't help yourself. But look here in Hebrews 11:17. Watch this now. I love that. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, God tried him. He's going to try us. Offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises now offered up his only begotten son. Of whom it was said that God told him that in Isaac thy seed shall be called. Thy seed, Christ. Accounting, now watch this, that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which also he received him in a figure. When Abraham went up that mountain, he said, I and that lad are going to come back again. We're just going up there to worship. Now, he honestly believed in his heart. He was ready to slay that boy, but he also, because God had made the promise that in him was the seed, that God would raise him again from the dead and take him back down off that mountain. And that's where the gospel was preached to him. The gospel of substitution, the gospel of resurrection, the gospel of sin offering, the gospel of satisfaction. The gospel of God's sovereignty, because God's the only one that could do this, is preached to him. And this is how Abraham went up to worship by faith in the God who provided the lamb and believed that he had raised his son up from the dead. And he believed it would be done, and we believe it is done. Ain't that right? It's done. It's done. Do you believe it's done? My sin was put away not when I believed, 2,000 years ago. God brought me to believe that what I needed was already done. And my faith never had anything to it. It was a gift from God that enabled me to do it. He said, I'm the lad, we're coming again. He said, oh my, I just cannot, my poor little weak brain can't get around that. But a man's going to slay his son and going to come back down off the mountain with him and call it worshiping God. But that's what it was. It was worship. You ain't going to worship God apart from sacrifice. You ain't going to worship God apart from substitution. You ain't going to worship God apart from a burnt offering. You ain't going to worship God apart from blood. And then let me say this and I'm through. The salvation of sinners. Oh, what a Jehovah Jireh the Lord will provide. And God provided us a salvation. And oh, the salvation of sinners, what a costly, costly provision it was. What was it? He was God's own Son. His precious, precious blood. It was His blood that was offered that day. It was His blood that put away sin. It was His blood that satisfied God. It was His blood that God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And secondly, is the wisest provision. What else You've heard people say that, you know, God could have done it some other way. Do you know what you're saying if God could have done it some other way? That God was, if He had another way to do it, that that wasn't the wisest way to do it? It wasn't the gracious way to do it? It wasn't the most just way to do it? It wasn't the righteous way to do it? So you're impugning the whole very character of God Himself when you say God could have done it some other way. God, if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. There wasn't but one way God could be just. Stay just holy and righteous and glorious in His character and save sinners. And that's for Himself to take on flesh, to be a sin offering and satisfy Himself, because nothing you and I ever do could satisfy. And oh my, that's the only way it could be. A holy man and a holy God united and met on Calvary's tree 2,000 years ago. And oh, bless His holy name. It was done. And He took united to take the sinner's place. And last of all, it was an effectual provision. When that lamb was put in Isaac's place, Isaac got up. He come down off that mountain. He was free. And when Christ was put in our place, Dan, we got to go free. As far as God was concerned, it's over and done with. And then, bless His name, He crossed our path with the gospel and said, "You're free, and whom the Son sets free is free indeed." That's why I love preaching the gospel. I don't know who the Lord's sheep are. I don't know, have no idea who they are. But He knows. And if there's an Isaac, if there's one of the heirs of promise among the Lord's people, just as sure as God's on His throne, He's going to cross our path. Somebody's going to say something. Their ears going to pop up. I heard about a fellow last night even. He said, he called the preacher, said, "Do you mind if I come over and hear what you got to say and sit there and just listen to you for a minute? A service?" He said, "No, I don't mind at all." Coming from a big Baptist church, and he'd come over and sit down and he'd listen to what he said, and he's been coming 6 years now. He was one of them Isaacs. He got set free. And the messenger brought in the message of freedom. You're free. Free from the law, oh happy condition. And I wish I knew the rest of it, I'd tell you. But I don't. The Lord bless you. I've enjoyed you very much and love you all, every one of you. And wished I could see you more often. God bless you.